Glory Hole. Chapter 3. That very afternoon, they made two more arrests in the Harrington Park men's room. That meant that the following Wednesday, they would have to testify in court against the defendants, a prospect which Don Rault was hardly looking forward to. When it was almost time for them to knock off for the day, Ed suggested that they stop for a beer at one of their favorite hangouts. It was a gay bar on the fringe of town which mostly catered to the quieter type of homosexual. Many of the patrons were heavy workman's shoes and hard hats. Don knew that a lot of married bisexuals patronized the place seeking a male partner for their night out. Don and Ed stayed at one corner of the bar. Neither of them was intent upon making any further arrests for the day. They felt as though they'd worked more than their share for one 8-hour shift. Don was on his third beer, and the evening was yet young, but he was still trying to soothe his conscience.
"Still thinking about that guy at the Empire?" Ed asked.
"Yes." Don looked at the other man and saw that his expression was grave, almost solemn.
"Kid, well, what can I say? I don't know how to explain it to you all yet. You're young and very idealistic, but, well, hell, he got what he wanted, didn't he? He was after a load.
That doesn't change the fact that the performance of our duty doesn't extend to having an orgasm," Don said.
"I know that, kid. Christ, don't you think I feel bad about it, too? But let's face it, kid, I get pretty hot waltzing around all day from one chicken coop to the other, you know? Besides, I haven't noticed you lacking in the hard-on department in any of those places, either. It might do you some good if you let at least one of them get your gun off. Scramble your eggs before you go home so you don't have to whip it to death to get to sleep. After all, we're only human. Just how much of a guy could take with no satisfaction, I ask you."
"You have a wife, Ed. That's what she's for."
"I know that. But let's face facts. Anna doesn't want any more kids. She's inhibited. When I do get it, I have to force it. Practically rape her.
Now, is that a marriage, I ask you? Is it or isn't it? Maybe if some of your demands were more reasonable, she might not find it so difficult."
"Shit on that," Ed smirked.
Don decided not to pursue the subject any further. It was obvious that Ed was not going to admit that he should at least meet her halfway and have himself sterilized. After all, he could understand her side of it. The pill was unpredictable, and she would be the one to suffer any physical damage that might result, not Ed.
"Let's talk about something pleasant, huh, kid?" Ed suggested, taking a deep draft of his beer. Then his face lit up. "Say, tell me honestly now, do you like pictures?"
"What kind of pictures?" Don inquired.
"You know," Ed appeared exasperated. "Fuck pictures. The real dirty kind."
"Well, I haven't had much opportunity to see any."
"Why don't you come over to my place?" Ed suggested. "I got a lot of them. With Edna out of town and the kids gone, we could look at them. I got tons. You'll like 'em. I know."
"I don't know, Ed," Don began. "I don't really..."
"Well, suppose Edna should return unexpectedly. Not a chance. As soon as she hauls ass out of here, she's gone for at least as long as she says she'll be, and maybe even longer. What say? Want to come?"
Don finally agreed, and Ed ordered a six-pack of beer to take out. They left the bar, drawing a few admiring glances. Don could feel several pairs of eyes looking at their crotches. Of course, he could hardly blame them. The tight, revealing pants they wore sometimes caused consternation, even among elderly ladies walking down the street. This had been one of the hardest aspects for Don to get used to. He disliked the disapproving glances of the old ladies, especially. As they pulled into the drive of Ed's home, Don found himself even more impressed with his friend's financial status. The brick home was very ostentatious. But if the exterior pleased him, the interior had an even greater effect. Plush carpeting throughout, expensive furniture and drapes, tastefully appointed lamps and other ornaments adorned the rooms. He was well aware of the central air conditioning since he slept every night in a hot boarding house room. What a contrast. He found himself happy that he'd accepted Ed's invitation. Ed went to the kitchen, where he placed the beer in the refrigerator, and then returned with two cans to the den. Don made himself comfortable on a leatherette sofa while Ed busied himself with minor chores. He fed his dog first while Don unwound and drank his beer. Don was beginning to feel slightly fuzzy. He couldn't take more than 5 beers in an evening, and he'd already had 3. The one he drank now was his 4th. 6 would knock him out, and he knew it. Ed came in from the yard holding the empty dog food can.
"Say, why don't you take a shower? Might refresh you."
"But Ed, I don't have a clean change of clothes." That's nothing to worry about. We're about the same size. You can put on something of mine. I'll bring you something into the bathroom. Go ahead, man. By the way, why don't you plan on spending the night?
Don felt his stomach jump at the suggestion. Well, I don't know. Seems like it would be too much trouble.
Hell, it'll be less trouble for me. I just have to drive you home afterward, and it'll be pretty late. Besides, you only have a hot room to look forward to. You can enjoy the air conditioning here and wake up refreshed. Anyway, I get kind of lonesome by myself. I get so used to Edna and the kids underfoot all the time that I miss them like hell when they're gone. I'll think about it, Ed, was all Don would say as he headed for the bathroom. He showered lingeringly, enjoying the luxury of having a bath without someone knocking on the door as they usually did at the boarding house. He heard Ed enter, and he heard the rustle of clothes. Perhaps Ed was hanging his things on the back of a chair and replacing some new clothes on the toilet seat where he'd left his soiled ones. After toweling himself dry, Don noted that the only garment Ed had brought in was a terry cloth robe. He wondered about that, but put it on anyway without any underwear. He wouldn't have the gumption to ask Ed for a pair of shorts. The guy never wore any because he always said that it showed off his crotch better and offered a much better lure. The terry cloth felt good against his bare skin, and the shower had refreshed him somewhat. He began to forget the incident in the Empire. Slowly, the young man's identity receded into the back of his mind, and soon he couldn't even remember what he looked like. So many of them looked alike, the hungry-eyed stare, the licking of the lips. When he entered the den once more, Ed had placed a lazy Susan of nuts and potato chips on a coffee table beside the leatherette sofa. Also on the sofa were about 10 thick albums, which Don automatically assumed contained the pictures he'd been invited to see. "You can look through some of these while I go take a shower," Ed said. "Don't rush. No need to hurry. Just take your time and enjoy them." While Ed was gone, Don picked up the first volume and began to leaf through it. The entire volume appeared to be heterosexual. There were some crazy positions and variations to the age-old theme. He munched thoughtfully on a few peanuts and took a swallow of beer after their saltiness made him thirsty. He was aware that his cock was stiffening. He pressed his thighs together, imprisoning the meat between them, and he squeezed gently. The second album he looked through was all homosexual. There were various groups. A good number of them involved only 2 men at a time, but there were sets or series of photographs which contained up to 6 men in them. Some of the fellows sported sailor hats, while others, especially those in standing postures, retained part of their navy uniforms while being filleted or filleting someone else. There was a few scattered photographs of drawings, some well done, while others were stylized almost beyond recognition, but he liked them. He had a throbbing bone on. Just then, Ed came out of the shower. He was still toweling himself, and he was completely nude. Don had never seen him stripped down before. He had no idea that Ed's body was so remarkable for a man of 38. He looked even younger with his clothes off. He walked toward Don, and the seated man could not help but notice the swinging of his cock as he did so. The shaft seemed slightly distended and fluffed up, to use Ed's own terminology, Don thought. Ed often reminded him to fluff up, or, in effect, to grope himself until he was almost semi-hard before entering a hen house or chicken coop. "Good, huh?" Ed smiled. "Like 'em?" Don nodded numbly. "Wait until you see the next album." "Where did you get all these?" Don asked. "Here and there. I know a few dealers." Ed shrugged, throwing the towel carelessly to the floor. "Then, too, when we raid someplace, I usually manage to root out anything they might have, and I confiscate it." "But isn't that illegal?" Don asked. "I mean, isn't it supposed to be presented as evidence?"
"Oh, it is all right," Ed answered, opening a can of beer. "I'm in good with the clerk, though, and he knows I've a weak spot for the stuff, so he lets me have it after the trial is over. They're supposed to be destroyed, but they never get around to it for some reason or other," he grinned.
Ed put some records on the stereo, and soft music drifted through several speakers strategically placed around the room. Don couldn't help but wonder about Ed. "My God," he thought, "the man lives through 8 hours of cruising about town, and when he isn't pestering his wife, he's enjoying his collection of photographs." Don felt the couch sink slightly as Ed sat down next to him. He picked up one of the albums and began to leaf through it. Don had become lost in a series of pictures which had apparently been taken during World War II. It depicted a party, and the party seemed genuine enough. The radio and lamps, as well as the furniture, fairly well documented the period. There were soldiers and a few sailors involved. Don hadn't realized the subtle changes that had taken place in uniform since that date. The beginning pictures featured the men kissing one another as well as drinking and cutting up. They groped unashamedly, but the remaining pictures were hot as hell. They were just doing about everything.
kind of gets to you, doesn't it?" Ed asked smilingly. When Don glanced at his companion, he wasn't surprised to see him sitting there with his cock sticking straight up from the pubic bush like a sword. "Let me get us another beer," Ed suggested. Don was too excited to say no. He watched Ed go toward the kitchen, unashamedly sporting a throbbing erection. The sight of him walking completely nude about his house in a state of extreme sexual excitement aroused Don. He wondered why it should. Don drank heavily of the beer which Ed brought back. He was very conscious of his own erection. When he placed one album down on the coffee table, his penis stuck out through the opening in the front of the robe, and he knew that Ed had seen it, but he didn't care. After all, if he can walk around with a hard-on, so can I, he thought. When he had finished the beer and looked through another thick album, Don felt dizzy. The pictures began to blur together, making an indistinct mass of bodies, blacks and whites without any form. His head reeled slightly. He knew that he had to quit. He felt very sleepy, but strangely enough, it didn't eliminate his sexual excitement. "Getting sleepy?" Ed asked. His voice sounded as though it came from the next room, although Don knew that he was still next to him on the sofa. "Huh? Sleepy?" Don felt as though he were floating. His brain seemed detached from his body. He tried to move, but found that his muscles and limbs wouldn't respond to his commands. "Yes, I'm sleepy," Don finally managed, his head dropping to one side. "Your cock isn't sleepy." Ed's voice still came from far away. "Look how strong it's standing up there, like a brave soldier. Guess we'll have to do something about that." "No," Don moaned. I'll jerk off later when I get home." "Indeed you won't. You're my guest. It's my fault for showing you the pictures. The least I can do is help a buddy out." Don felt the velvety fingertips flitting up and down his erect penis. "You're my buddy. I don't mind helping you out." Don felt the hands pulling back the terry cloth robe, felt the cool air on his naked torso, hands all over him now, touching his nipples, his stomach, and his sides, then dropping to feel his penis and his testicles. "Nice. Nice, so nice," Don heard as though from a distance. The muffled voice continued to pour out compliments. "Let's get to bed," the voice said. By now it was a faceless voice, a voice without any identity, without gender. And Don felt himself responding. He felt as though he were floated off the sofa and the room weaved around. He was being steered toward the bedroom door. Every time he thought he might fall, arms held him tightly, but gently. He felt the hardness of Ed's cock against his thigh, brushing it with every step. It was now slightly moist from excitement, and some of the sticky fluid had gotten under the hairs on his thigh, causing them to stick together in a mat. He didn't know what was going to happen, and he didn't care. He knew that something similar to what he'd seen in the photo albums would develop, but so what? The beer had made him giddy as well as sleepy. He'd experienced a mild curiosity while looking at the pictures. What would it be like to make it with another guy? What would Ed be like? He was such a hot one. As he lay on the bed, he opened his eyes and could vaguely discern the figure of a man kneeling over him on all fours. Oddly, he did not find the sight strange. It was as though it were a dream anyway. Watching, he felt the figure advance, and he felt the heat of the cock pressed against his face. He felt the roundness of the testicles on his chin, and the sexy smell of male genitalia filled his nostrils. It was a new smell, new odor to him. He found himself kissing the testicles, all the while conscious of the sticky fluid bathing parts of his face as it dripped from the penis. Then he felt himself rolled to one side, and something wet and cold was applied to his asshole. He didn't know what it was, but it felt wet and slippery. The fingertip soothed him, tenderly massaging the outer anal tissue, tantalizing it, and bringing an oddly pleasant sensation there. "I love ass," the voice came again. "Let me see it." He felt himself lying on his stomach, legs spread. He was investigated both physically and visually. "I love ass," the voice said again. Then Don was on his side once more. Something firm and hot was pressed against his anus. It felt like a ball or something. It pressed. Just then, more cool wetness, but this time applied to his throbbing penis. The wet, cool hand massaged the penis. As the sensation coursed through his body, he was aware of a pressure at his anus. The ball was gaining entrance. Distracted as he was by the wonderful hand working it in front, he felt no pain. There was a moment of indecision, a time when he felt that he should try to move away from the cock that was gaining interest to his bowels, but his body wouldn't respond. Then it slipped in full length, as easy as you please. "Wasn't so bad, was it?" The voice again. "Nice tight ass. Top drawer." The hand swirled about the head of his cock and massaged more vigorously, bringing exquisite delight until the stuffed, invading feeling in his ass subsided to a greedy want. He almost revived with the thought of it. It felt good there. It felt natural to have it shoved up him. Rapture spread through him. He felt warm and safe, and the delicious sensations were overpowering him. It was so much better than jerking off. And there were the side elements. There was the peculiar odor, which is emitted by an anus only when it is engaged in coitus with a penis. Wet, sucking sounds. Sounds from the hand which massaged him. Sounds from the penis as it moved about freely in his ass. There was the warmth of Ed, the smell of him. His voice. My buddy likes to be fucked, doesn't he? Don mumbled, vaguely aware that his pelvis was beginning to make bucking movements. Deep in his bowels, he was aware of the feel of the head of Ed's cock touching areas which had never been touched before. He felt as though he were on fire, but there was no pain, only a vast feeling of being engulfed in pleasure, the likes of which he'd only dreamed about. "Glad you didn't go home?" "Glad you stayed?" asked the voice. Don mumbled. His jackknifing hips told all that needed to be told. "Much better than going home and jerking off," the voice added. Don felt the hot mouth on his earlobe, felt the wet invasion into the ear itself. The voice was closer now, whispering, enticing, cajoling, and encouraging all at the same time. The wetness of the mouth pleased him as it traveled around his neck and ear. His voice turned, and soon the wetness engulfed his own lips. A tongue stabbed into his mouth, and he sucked it. Ed's mouth moved possessively about his face. Don felt devoured, and he discovered it to be a pleasant sensation. His mind spun in a whirlpool. There was something oddly delicious, something salacious in the feel of Ed's wet mouth and tongue on his own in conjunction with the bucking of their hips. And all of this in Ed's own bed. The bed he usually shared only with his wife. Don's hips were working by reflex action alone, for he was not consciously directing their movement. Ed's hips were matching the movements, stroke for stroke, pulling the penis out to the very tip and then slamming it home to the base. There was now the sound of flesh slapping flesh with the violence of their coital movements. The bed was rocking from side to side like a cradle. The movement of his hips was forcing his erect penis into Ed's greased hands, into those clenching fingers that massaged and worked on the hand whenever it was in his grasp. He felt himself beginning to come. The sap was rising from deep in his nuts, and he moved his hips faster. Ed seemed to sense his imminence, for his hips increased the tempo along with him. They were more akin to two animals now, their hips smashing together in the manner of wild pigs, lips and tongues communing wetly, obscenely. Neither seemed to care. Each seemed intent upon becoming more animalistic. As he felt his orgasm approaching mercurially now, Don began a slight whimpering, which seemed to come from deep down in his chest. It was not an unmanly whimpering, but more like that of someone when faced with something inevitable yet deliciously pleasant. Then he felt his boiling seed being flung out, cast away only to feel some of it cascade down his body. Some, by the very violence of his climax, land on the side of his face, and Ed's mouth slithered forward to claim the prize and devour it. Now it was Ed's turn to whimper. The voice, it whispered now about clutching muscles, about contractions which were wonderful. Then Ed's groin was pressed into his buttocks. Pressed until he was conscious of the crisp patch of hair seeming to cut into his skin. He felt the head of Ed's cock ballooning, swelling up and erecting. Ed's mouth, even more voracious than before now that he experienced orgasm. Then they were limp. Their breath intermingled. Their perspiration ran together, and Don was again conscious of the odors. The smell of sex permeated the bed. One part of his mind dreaded the moment of separation, but he needn't have worried, for he drifted off to sleep. A deep, dreamless sleep.